The Bible reading is from John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Welcome to St. Stephen's. My name is Prash. I'm the senior minister here, and a very warm welcome if you're joining us perhaps for the first time, or it's been a few months or a few 2 years of COVID. It's great to have you here, and we're just very thankful for a beautiful weekend of weather and for the opportunity to meet and think a little bit about Easter. Now, Pippi is hanging something up here for me because she's going to help me out. I just want to talk a little bit about Easter, and you can help me out. I've got lots of ringing up here, Ads. It's probably me, isn't it? There we go. All right, let's try that. Okay. I have a question for you, and kids, you can help me out here, okay? How do you make someone feel better? I wonder what you do to make someone feel better. What if, for example, your brother just ruined your chalk drawing? What would you do? Interestingly, the brother is actually very upset too. Not sure why, because he just ruined his my other son's chalk drawing. What would you do? How do you make your brother feel better when his little brother has ruined his chalk drawing? Or how about this one? Can you click over? Thank you. How do you make your little brother feel better when he dropped his ice cream? He's meant to be sad, by the way, there. He really enjoyed his acting career. I don't know. How do you do that? How do you comfort someone? How do you comfort someone when they've heard that they're really sick and they might die? It's funny, isn't it? It's pretty easy to comfort someone when they've dropped their ice cream. I'll give you a new ice cream. It's pretty easy. Well, it's kind of easy to comfort someone when you've had your chalk drawing destroyed. I'll draw something new for you. But how do we comfort someone when they're facing death? It's a hard question to answer, isn't it? It's a complicated question to answer. Jesus, in our story today, is trying to do this very thing. Pippi's going to help me out, actually. I've got some pictures for us. And kids, you should have in your booklet, in your bag, some booklets which have spaces for you to do the pictures here. So as you follow along, see if you can track the story with me, okay? So this story, if you can't see, kids, you can come up the front. You're allowed to be up the front the whole time if you want to be, okay? Or you can stay with your parents, whichever you feel better. Now, this story is about a guy called Lazarus who was a friend of Jesus's. And word came to Jesus that Lazarus, his good friend, was very sick, very sick. And so you see Lazarus in his bed here, and there's his sisters, Mary and Martha. They sent for Jesus because they knew Jesus was powerful. They'd seen him do extraordinary things. They said, "Come and help our brother." And Jesus said, our friend Lazarus is very sick and he will sleep. Now, his disciples at the time thought he meant fall asleep, but he meant die. But Jesus did something strange. Instead of coming straight away, he was about 2 days away from where Lazarus lived. He stayed there for 2 more days. This is such a strange piece of behavior. Jesus loved Lazarus. He knew he was very sick, almost to the point of death, but he stayed where he was. Eventually, Jesus came to Lazarus's hometown, and Lazarus's sister, Martha, came to Jesus. She said, "Lazarus is dead. Lazarus, who Jesus loved, is dead." But she said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have lived." Goodness me. Sometimes do you delay stuff in your life? Look back and think, "Oh, if only I'd done the tax earlier, I wouldn't be in this." That's our family story. Do you delay things in life and have real regrets? Jesus comes to Lazarus's hometown and Lazarus is dead. He waited 2 days. And you would think at this point, Jesus has so much regret So much regret, if only. But Jesus deliberately did that. Jesus deliberately let Lazarus die. That's very strange behavior from Jesus. And then Jesus says something even stranger, actually. Jesus actually is a very emotionally intuitive person. That means he really understood how people felt. In fact, there's a story in John 4 where Jesus meets this lady at a well. And she has lots of issues in her life. She's a very damaged person. And Jesus knows it straight away. In fact, he diagnoses the issue and he's able to care for her and minister her and look after her. He understands how people feel. He really understands people. But then he says something so strange to Mary and Martha, who are so sad. He says this. He says, Jesus said to her, this is what Jess read out for us. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing me will never die. Do you believe this? You know what? That is a weird thing to say. Isn't that a weird thing to say? Have you ever gone to a funeral and said to someone, even though they die, they'll live? Have you gone to the funeral and said, hey, I am life? But that's exactly what Jesus did. He turns up to the graveside. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Why is Jesus saying that? And is he being insensitive? See, Jesus, the way he comforts Mary and Martha in their moment of greatest grief is to point to himself. Very strange. But I don't think Jesus is minimizing death. I don't think Jesus is able to, actually, because the story goes on, and here's what we read in the story next. Jesus has met his friends, two sisters, Mary and Martha, who he was close friends to as well. And so he says, when Jesus saw her weeping, that's Mary, and the Jews who'd come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. So here's a picture. Kids, if you're working through your booklets, this is Jesus. And he sees Mary on her knees saying, Lord, if only he'd been here, my brother would have lived. And here's the Jews. And Jesus sees and he understands. In fact, it would have been hard to not understand, because in Jewish culture at that time, much like Mediterranean culture, Arabic culture, African culture, death is horrific. And if you've ever been to a funeral in one of those cultures, you would see people really weep. They grieve to a huge level. So Jesus, he cannot minimize, he cannot make the death of Lazarus a small thing, because he's surrounded by all these people who are so sad. And what's more, we see that Jesus was really sad. In fact, did you know that the New Testament, the second half of the Bible, is actually written in Greek? So when we read it in English, someone had to translate it into English. And the Greek word here, which they have translated, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled, actually means he was outraged. He was furious. Jesus is a pretty even-keel guy. But here, he kind of almost loses the plot. He is so angry about death. If you know the end of the story and what happens, that's pretty amazing that even though he knows what he's going to do, he's still angry about death. Jesus thinks death is really bad. He's not minimizing this death. And look what it says right at the end. Mary says, come and see, Lord, where he's been buried. And Jesus goes to the tomb of Lazarus, right? He's just looking at a big kind of cave with a boulder rolled across it. But that is enough for Jesus to weep. Jesus wept. Jesus is super sad. He is grieving to his core. Jesus doesn't minimize death here. Actually, you know what? I think we do, though. I think we do. We don't know how to deal with death. But death is really bad. We just don't think about it much. I I googled one of those, you know, calculators, work out how many years of life you have left, right? I'm in my early 40s, so I kind of assumed the number would be higher than my age. Turns out that wasn't the case. It asked you all things like your age, do you smoke, are you overweight, so what do you eat? Saturated fats, those are things like apples, bananas, fruits. Stay away from those. The number comes out. It's this sobering moment. It's sobering whether the number is higher than your current age or not. It's sobering because it gives you a date. It gives you a date. And that's sobering to think that that might be where your life comes to an end, if it follows the trend lines even. Death is a pretty awful thing. It's a pretty awful thing. And it's weird even talking about it. You know, we actually talked about it as a staff team. Should we talk about death? Like, kids, you're in the room. But death is pretty bad. And I think the question we ask ourselves, should we even talk about it, is because the way we deal with death is we just try to ignore it, try to distract ourselves. Actually, the next entry on the Google search was this one. When will I die? Death down, countdown, calculator, prank app. This is an app you can send to someone. It tells them they're going to die a bit earlier than they probably would. That's hilarious, isn't it? We deal with death by laughing about it and by trivializing it and by distracting ourselves from it. Maybe we just fill our lives with busyness, with stuff, or even with people. So we just don't have the time to think about it. And then we just hope it'll kind of come and go. But death is bad. In fact, the Bible tells us there's something even more challenging about death. See, the problem is, it's you can't just like eat well, you know, wear sunscreen and avoid death. The Bible says this is what the Apostle Paul says, the wages of sin is death. He's saying death happens as a symptom, actually, of your broken relationship with God. You're out of relationship with your Creator, and that's why, actually, we'll all die. We'll all be consigned to death, and the world is decaying and broken. Actually, not just because it's broken, but because before that, at the root of everything, our relationship with God is broken. You see, we don't just trivialize the event of death, we trivialize the cause of death. Jesus doesn't do that. That's why he's outraged. That's why he's so upset at Lazarus' tomb, because it's not just that Lazarus has died and has no breath in his body. It's that this is the sign of a world that is at odds with their God, who's rejected their loving Creator. Now, this story, though, is a great story, Lazarus' story. Because after that, Jesus says to Mary and Martha, first, actually, he prays to God, and then he says to Mary and Martha, roll the stone away. And they say, hang on, he's been in there for 2 days, he's gonna stink. It's a weird line. It's kind of funny, but you like feel awkward laughing about it. But it's true. He says, roll the stone away. And so they roll the stone away. And he says these three words, Lazarus, come out! And Lazarus comes out. He comes out. He's still got his grave clothes on him. He's been wrapped up in all these cloths that they would have wrapped him up at the time. He says, Lazarus, come out. The crowd's probably standing around, this guy's a nut job. Oh, this is so awkward. Who invited him? And as they're thinking this, out stumbles Lazarus in the grave clothes. Just in case you thought it was a trick and they replaced him with a stunt double. No, it's him. And you know, the story is amazing because the next thing we're told after these events is there's Lazarus sitting at the table having a meal with Mary and Martha. That must have been a crazy meal. He's having his wake. He's celebrating his wake. They're like, do you like what we chose? We thought you like hummus, so we've got hummus here. Oh, it's great hummus. I love it. People are like, Lazarus, we heard you were dead. Yeah, no, not anymore. People, and John tells us, people came from everywhere to meet Lazarus. They came from everywhere. The crowd is so crazy. In fact, the Pharisees get worried because they're worried not only have to deal with Jesus, now they deal with this Lazarus guy. It is such an amazing story. But you know what, that story, that's actually not the high point of Jesus' life, as amazing as that miracle is. Lazarus coming out is a sign, actually. See, it's not complete because Lazarus is going to die again. See, because his problem is he's still got sin. And the wages of sin is death, and that's going to come back again. See, Jesus, though, he raises Lazarus to point us to something, which is Resurrection Sunday. Look at what Jesus says. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He didn't say, I can bring about resurrection and life. Of course he can, and he does. He says, no, I am. I am in myself life. No one else can say that. I have life. Yeah, that's one thing. I am life. I am the animating power in the world. And you know what? Jesus, when he ultimately rises, he's not standing outside the tomb, he's inside the tomb. He's inside the tomb. And that is so amazing. Because he's inside the tomb, first of all, he has died the death to deal with those wages of sin. He has died the death. So sin cannot execute its payment anymore. Jesus has paid it, as we sing. He's paid it all. He's inside the tomb, so he actually understands death better than you do. He's actually died. He knows the finality of the hopelessness of it. He's inside. But what's more, in his dead state, his life within him is so strong, he cannot be restrained. He rises up. He's like a little flower, which my five-year-old son crushes, only that it is so strong. It is life itself. It cannot be crushed. And so Jesus comes back to life from the dead. The resurrection. And you know what's even better? Jesus says that is not just him, but his offer is it that is offer for you and I as well. And all you need to do, he says, is believe. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you, question for you and me, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Now, yet on Friday, if you were here, I was talking about how following Jesus, kind of all of your life, it's not just an intellectual thing. Yeah, I believe Jesus rose from the dead. I believe that he raised Lazarus. No. Do you believe that he is the life? And so are you therefore willing to put yourself wholly in his hands and do whatever he says? Are you willing to roll the stone away on a tomb of a friend whose body has been buried for 2 days? Are you willing to do what's perhaps ridiculous at times for the sake of Christ, because that's what he calls you to? If you are, you'll live. You'll live. Because Jesus is life. I've got one more story for you as I finish. You remember the Thai boys who went into the cave and it rained and got flooded in and they got trapped in there and they were going to die? You remember this story? I've learnt a lot from that story. First of all, don't ever go camping is my fit. But secondly, I think this is something really helpful in understanding what it means to believe in Jesus. Okay? See, those boys, they're young. They couldn't swim. I mean, they grew up in part of Thailand that wasn't near the water, so they'd never really ever gone swimming in their life. Also, the cave was pitch black. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face. That's how dark it was. I mean, we don't experience that level of darkness, but it was such, right? And it was a long, treacherous pathway out. There were parts where they had to dive into this pitch black water, and they had to be submerged for so long they couldn't just hold their breath. They needed to use like a breathing apparatus, like scuba gear. Now, of course, they've never swum before, let alone scuba dive before. And these boys were also malnourished because they had no real food and sustenance for weeks. And so eventually they devised a system to rescue these boys. They sent in these very skilled divers who had a guideline, and they would go in, they put the boy on a gurney, they'd sedate the boy. So he's asleep. Put a mask on him, strap him on, and then they'd swim him out in the pitch black. These boys were dead for all purposes. But what saves them is that they hitch themselves onto this guy. They're willing to be sedated. They're willing to give up control of their life. But as they do that, bound to this diver, they come from death to life. That is what it is to believe in Jesus. To hook yourself into Jesus Christ, to say, I am basically dead. But if I am with Christ, if I am with Jesus, if I have put my life solely in his hands, I will live. So as we finish, I want to encourage you. I'm so glad you're here. I'm glad you're here if you're a regular. I'm super glad you're here if you're a visitor for Easter. You have chosen a great Sunday to be here. But even more than that, I want to encourage you to put yourself in Jesus' hands. And you will live. You will live. Amen.